Well, good morning. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Youth Sunday. For those who don't know me, you heard my name like six times today. My name is Travis Fickinger. I'm a senior at Cooper City High School. I'll be graduating in about 2 days on Tuesday. And I'll be attending Broward College this fall. I'll do 2 years there and then transfer to UCF and complete my bachelor's in video and media production. All right, I'm going to be honest with all of you. I don't know how to start this, so I guess I'll be a little cliche. I'm going to start from my baptism, all the way back when. You see, on these very steps, about 16 years ago, in December of 2006, me and my entire family had handfuls of water slapped on us, and we became members of this church. I have so many memories throughout my years here. I remember back in Sunday school, we had this gift shop, and we were given these little things called Bible bucks. And well, you see, the thing with these Bible bucks, I never spent them. I would hoard these Bible bucks, and by the end of it all, I had a stack like this thick. I hoarded those things. I remember my first trip. It was the Great Escape, summer of fifth grade year. It was the first time I had ever been away from my parents for more than an afternoon, and this was an entire week. I didn't miss them at all. I missed them a little bit, okay. One of my favorite trips was on Breakthrough. It was Breakthrough 2018. I was in eighth grade. It was the first trip that John Bach was on with us. And see, what happened was, it was in the middle of the night, and everyone in our cabin was thirsty. So we started trying to find the most ridiculous ways to get water. Like, I called Chandler this was at like 2 in the morning. I called Chandler, middle of the night. My friend Hunter, he called his friend back down in Florida to see if he could ship us a case of water same day. I'm pretty sure aliens got involved near the end of there. And after it all, it sparked one of my favorite reoccurring inside jokes between me and John. Like, just as recently as last Breakthrough back in December, we had a whole conversation about getting a case of water just for our cabin. And on the subject of inside jokes, the first time I went on Peace River, which was also back in eighth grade, Simeon Rogers was on this with us. We were sitting in a circle in the common room. I don't know what we were talking about, but Simeon was sitting next to me, and he was like poking at my elbow. He was saying my elbow was double jointed. And he was poking at it, and he was saying, "Travis, I'm telling you, it looks like it's double jointed." So after a bit, I blurt out, "I am not double jointed," to a very awkward silence. And well, you see, for the next solid year or so, all of the guys in youth group called me DJ. I have had so many fun memories in youth group and on these trips. I really could talk for the rest of the service. But, well, you see, I'm contractually obligated to give a sermon with Bible stuff and such, so I'm gonna start that now. Now, there's a verse that really resonated with me. It's in the book of Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. Our steps are made firm by the Lord when he delights in our way. Though we stumble, we shall not fall, for the Lord holds us by the hand. Now, you can easily take this at face value and interpret it as saying that as long as God loves or likes what you're doing, then you'll never fail. But see, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that as we go through life, through all the fails, through all the redirections, we can always trust that God will get us to where we need to be. Now, I feel everyone in here has a handful of stories about something. There was something that they really didn't want to do. They fought it, they protested it, but as soon as they started doing it, they discovered that it's actually pretty amazing. Now, see, I have a really good one of these stories that I want to share with you. So, about 3 years ago, as a freshman, freshman year was wrapping up. This was right before COVID hit. And you see, we did these course election cards for sophomore year, where you pick your courses for sophomore year. And, you know, you pick your courses, but you also have backup courses. So if you pick a course that ends up being full, then they'll put you in one of those backup courses. And, well, wouldn't you know it, one of the courses that I picked was full, and one of my backup courses was this little class called Digital Video Production. So that's what I started sophomore year. Now, to be completely honest, I did not like that class at all. When I first started, it was all homework. It was all group projects. I did not like those things. But you see, as we went through the year, I started to discover that I actually started to really enjoy it. I started to look forward to the classes every day. I looked forward to learning the software. I loved the feeling of, you know, taking all these pictures, taking all these videos, and then editing them together into one final product. I loved that feeling. And after a while, I started to think that this could be my calling. Because you see, I didn't know what I wanted to do after high school or study in college. I mean, I was 16, who does? But this just felt right. So I eventually made up my mind that this is what I was going to do with my life. And I was talking with my mom about it, and she mentioned that just the previous Sunday, a few days earlier, that there was an announcement in church that the tech crew was looking for volunteers. So I volunteered for the tech crew. And so it was. I was in the tech booth that very next Sunday. I will never forget it. I walked up there, Evan was there, and we had our little introductions. He gave me a crash course on the workings of the booth, all the programs and the live stream stuff that I need to know. So that was about an hour, and he sits me down and he says, "Oh, okay, so you're comfortable with all this, right?" And, you know, me trying to make a good impression, I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm totally comfortable with all this." So he said, "Good. Service starts in 5 minutes. Good luck." But, yeah, joining the tech team was, I am not kidding, it was one of the best things I have ever done in my life. I have so many amazing memories just in that little box back there. I gained so much experience with them that as a high schooler would be pretty much impossible to get otherwise. Like, see, when I first started, I had never even touched or seen a soundboard before. And now, 2 years later, I can confidently say I know what, like, two of those dials do. Through my class at school and the tech team here, I am leaving high school with a skill set and a passion that hardly anyone gets. And with the volunteer hours that I got from the tech crew, I have a silver cord at graduation on Tuesday for 250 service hours. And you know, after all this, it's so surreal to look back and realize that all of this happened, all of this, because one of those classes that I picked all the way back in freshman year ended up being full, and I was put into that video production class. And it's just so surreal, because the fact that one little change, one little redirection that I didn't even want ended up changing my life in such a significant way. I mean, if that didn't happen, I don't think I'd be standing here saying and declaring what I wanted to do after high school. I'd be standing here saying, I still don't know what I want to do, and I'll just see where God takes me. Now, I have so many more of these stories, and I'm sure many of you do as well, and I think that is such an incredible part of life, that sometimes you don't get what you want, but sometimes what you get instead ends up being so, so much better. Now, as I prepare to hand off to Keith, I want to take one last moment to genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, thank all of you and thank the church for being such a core part of my life and my upbringing. And I hope that as the years go by, this church can continue to be a place for people to grow and become loving members of the family of Christ. Thank you very much.
I honestly shouldn't be here. As some of you know, I had a brush with death in October of my junior year. It was a shallow water blackout that during practice that landed me in the ICU for 2 days. What you don't know is that only 2 months earlier, I almost ran a jet ski into a bridge pylon while on vacation in the Keys. And 2 months after the pool incident, I was involved in a major car accident. To say I learned that there's a possibility for things to change in an instant is an understatement. That is part of why I try to make a difference every day, even if it's small. I want my time here to matter. I've always tried to live my life in service to others. I like helping people. It comes naturally to me. I believe that I should be actively living out my faith, not just talking about it. This leads me to my scripture selection of James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? To me, this is saying words are empty. From an early age, I remember one of my family members saying to me, "Words are nothing without action, Keith. If you want to know the true measure of someone's character, don't just listen to what they tell you. Pay attention to what they do and how they act. I think if you say you love something or someone, you show it. When you make a commitment, you keep it. When you do something, it should be done 100%. To do otherwise is to be lukewarm. The Bible also speaks in Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, about these lukewarm works. It says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." I don't know about you, but I don't like the idea of God spitting me out. All of this is to say that I'm proud of my time here and what I've been blessed to do for the church I love. I've decorated Christmas. I've done Easter lilies with worship and music. I've filled and delivered Thanksgiving baskets with missions. I've gone on mission trips with youth in college. I've done church work days with Building and Grounds. I helped hire our music minister, Reed Masters, by participating on his search committee. And I've been a member of every choir here. The funny thing about what I just told you is that I didn't remember it. When I was preparing for this sermon, my youth director, Chandler, reminded me of all these things I've done and been involved here at First Pres. When I was filling out my scholarship forms, I used a document my parents were nice enough to give me that showed all these acts I did for the church. I don't believe in keeping score when I help. This brings me to my next point, which is to be humble in the deeds you do. Just because I do these things, it doesn't mean everyone needs to know about it. In James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, James talks about humility, saying, "Therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded people. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Your laughter must change to mourning and your joy to sorrow. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." To me, this means God wants us to be humble, because if we're not, we've missed the point of service. He won't ever abandon us or leave us, but if we're not doing what we're called to do, we will feel and grow further from him. When we do what he asks of us to grow in a relationship with him and feel more connected, our way of lives improve. In the beginning of my service, my biggest lukewarm reason was my parents were forcing me. Every kid here knows it's true. But as time went on, it became more about really wanting to help and that sense of accomplishment and satisfaction I felt from doing it. There were still times when getting up early on a Saturday or Sunday wasn't my favorite thing, but I always felt better once the work was done. A great example of this happened a few years ago. My dad and I were here on decorating day for Hanging of the Greens. On this year, almost no help showed up, and my dad and I were in the sanctuary decorating for about 8 or 9 hours. I remember being a little resentful that my whole Saturday had been taken up with this task. But then, on Sunday night, when I was singing with the choir, I got to see everything lit up. It created that Christmas atmosphere we all know and love. I realized I'd helped that create that moment for everyone. It gave me a completely different perspective on the day before. Instead of being resentful, I felt thankful I'd done it, thankful I'd put in the work. Then I got to relax and embrace it. Another example is the last mission trip I went on. We went to Beth El, where they helped the farming community around it. We helped with some cosmetic jobs around their place, like painting one of their rooms, but we also sorted out clothes, helped unload shipments of food, and distributed that food to the hungry. We stayed in a school where the air conditioning had been down for a day, and this was in the middle of summer, so it was hot to say the least. But why should it matter if I'm hot when hundreds of cars are lined up in that same heat because they need food? Why should it matter if I'm hot when people don't have enough clothes to wear? The discomfort I might be feeling was nothing in comparison, and the help we gave and the kindness we showed was worth a few moments of summer heat. If I can say anything of value, let me say this. Live every day like it's your last. Match your actions to your words. Don't be lukewarm. If you commit, commit 100%. Go out and make a difference, but also focus on making a difference right here. Don't brag about the things you do or expect some sort of acknowledgement for it. I'm going away to South Carolina for school, so I won't be here each Sunday. I do feel like I'm taking a lot with me, a lot this place and all of you have taught me. I'll try to continue to live everything I talked about today and continue to apply the lessons learned here. I especially want to thank the scholarship committee for reviewing my application and the Kearns family for providing me with their scholarship. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Patrick McCauley, and I graduated from Pinecrest. I'll be attending Florida State University and majoring in exercise physiology with a minor in STEM entrepreneurship. Let's go, Noles! I'm a first pres lifer. In fact, I'm also actually a fourth generation member at First Presbyterian Church. My grandparents, my parents, and my aunt and uncle were all married here. My mom, my aunt, my siblings, and I were all baptized right here by Dr. Newman. My dad was baptized here as well. We were also all confirmed on these steps. I've never known anything other than our church, and I'm thankful for that. Our church has given me so many opportunities over the years to meet new people and forge different experiences doing a variety of things. Some of my favorite activities that I've been involved in include Youth Group, Good Game Wednesday, also known as GG Wednesday, The Great Escape, and the Chapel and Kirk Singer Plays. This past year, I've been able to participate in my favorite church activity, GG Wednesday. John Bach, our fantastic assistant youth director, asked me to help lead GG Wednesdays this year. I said yes and had an amazing time playing sports, teaching younger students the ins and outs of different sports, and trying to model good behavior and good sportsmanship. I was able to do all this while serving our church in an area where I have some strengths and skills. And while serving, I was able to develop lifelong friendships with the underclassmen. Thank you, John, for giving me the opportunity to serve in this way. But if it sounds like I was always happy to go to church, you would be wrong. When I was younger, during elementary school, I really liked coming to church and going to Sunday school and being in the choir. But then I got to middle school. All through middle school, my mother had to drag me to choir and youth group. She also made me do things like go to the Great Escape and help my brother with his community service project. I complained a lot. All I wanted to do was stay at home. I admit it, I was a bit of a brat, and I thought I could get my way if I complained loudly and behaved badly. I was awful in at least one Great Escape trip, if not more. I'm sure Chandler wanted to send me home, and I know she and my mother had several heart-to-heart conversations about me. But my mom was persistent and consistent, and she forced me to go. Gradually, I began to realize that I enjoyed coming to church and that I was having fun. I saw the value in participating, and I started doing more for and with the church. Once I gave choir and youth group a real shot, I had a ton of fun. And I ended up loving The Great Escape to the point that it is my favorite summer activity. I went from being forced to go to absolutely loving it. Being on the work crew has been one of my favorite things in high school, and it spurred me on to other leadership roles. Part of that is because Chandler never gave up on me either. She forgave me for my bad behavior and saw the good in me. She saw my interests and worked with me to develop my leadership skills. Thank you for everything, Chandler. Yes, middle school was a tough time, but we got through it. When I look back on those years, one of the church activities that really impacted my life was the chapel singer plays. Remember, this was during the period where I disliked going to youth group, but I really, really disliked going to choir. But then it was time for the play when I was in seventh grade. I was cast as Troy, the lead role in High School Musical Junior. This was a life-changing event for me. Not only did I have a new experience that totally pushed me out of my comfort zone, but I made a lot of friends that I would not have had the opportunity to meet otherwise. We had the best time doing the play, and as it ended, I realized that I felt closer to the church, my friends, and God because of that experience. Later that year, I was doing lights for the Kirk Singer play, and I was able to watch my brother perform in Footloose. He was flourishing in that environment, doing things totally out of his comfort zone, and it inspired me. The next year, my freshman year, I was really looking forward to being in the Kirk Singer play, Guys and Dolls. I was disappointed when I realized my lacrosse schedule would exclude me from participating. But then Michael and Noel reached out and asked me to participate. They gave me a small cameo role, worked with my sports schedule, and allowed me to fully participate in the play. They bent over backwards to make it work for me to be in the play. Their kindness and inclusiveness is something I will always remember. Because of them, I was able to participate in Guys and Dolls, and it was the only Kirk Singer play my siblings and I were able to be in together, which was really special. Between being with my siblings and the great camaraderie of the cast, I had the best time. These experiences drew me into the church and made me want to become a more active member. Those experiences I had in middle school and the path I was on remind me of the verse from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This Bible verse emulates my experiences at the church, especially my middle school experiences, because I feel that at first I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to go to youth group. I didn't want to serve my church or my community. And I really didn't want to go to choir. I was forced to go. I wasn't happy about it, and I let everyone know it. My heart was stone, that my parents, my grandparents, Michael and Chandler, kept chipping away at me. But more importantly, God started chipping away at me. I found a desire to want and serve and help others, and I had a new heart and a new spirit. And as all this was happening, Nick Merchant coordinated a series on homelessness in Broward County. At the end of the series, Nick asked us to think about how we could serve the homeless. While I thought about his request, I remembered my brother's own community service project and how impactful it was, and I decided I wanted to come up with some sort of project that would help. As I thought about it, I realized I couldn't imagine not having a home and having to live on the street. No clean clothes, no shelter, no food, and no showers. I knew I wouldn't like that, and I couldn't think of anyone who would. As I delved into my research, I learned that socks are the most needed items for the homeless population, yet the least donated. I realized that was it. I wrote a proposal, Nick helped me go through the approval process, and Socktober became a reality in October 2019. I never imagined the support I would receive for this project or the impact it would have on the community. In 2021, Perry Cannon from Hope, South Florida, called me to say that they were desperate and asked if I could drop off anything I had because they didn't have any socks left to distribute. That's right, no socks left whatsoever. That's when I realized that the little project I started was actually making a big difference. Every year, the number of socks we've collected during our collection drive has grown. This year, we received a $500 grant from the Community Foundation of Broward. With the support of First Presbyterian Church, I've collected over 3,000 pairs of socks, and Socktober is now a standing mission at our church. It will happen in October every year. I started Socktober to give back to others, but I feel like I've ended up getting more than I gave. I wanted to serve our church, our community, and help others, but I received much more in return. I received unwavering support from my family, my church family, and others in the community. I also receive the gifts of love, kindness, support, and the gift of knowledge that serving others is important. I would like to thank you for the incredible gifts you have given me. You, as a church family, have loved and supported me from the day I was born. You have said kind things to me, given me hugs, and prayed for me. You have wholeheartedly supported Socktober. You have made a difference in my life. And Chandler, Nick, and John, I'd like to thank you. The impact you have had on my life is immeasurable. I appreciate everything you have done for me and the love you have given me. You have been role models for me, and I want to follow in your footsteps and return to be a role model for future generations here at First Pres. God has given me many gifts: a great family, a great education, a great church family, and the love of serving others. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, we are told, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another." This is one of my favorite Bible verses because it really resonates with me. I want to take the gifts God has bestowed on me and share them with others. I'd like to set an example for other youth in our church, my peers, and continue to serve others throughout the rest of my life. And I would like to encourage you to do so as well. The underlying message that I want to say to you is that you matter. Your involvement and investment in the youth makes a difference. It made a difference for my mom and my aunt, and it made a difference for me. It will make a difference for future generations. Without your support, none of us would be here. Without your support, none of us would have the amazing experiences we have, like youth group and the Great Escape. And for you parents who are living through those fun middle school years, talk to my mom. Holding on to your beliefs and being consistent will matter. Kids go through phases, but it passes. And through consistency and prayer, hearts of stone can be turned into hearts of flesh, and children who have no interest in anything can turn into adults who want to take their gifts and serve others. Again, thank you, First Presbyterian Church, all for everything you have done for me. You have made a difference in my life. God bless you all.